You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. I'm your host, Brian Peacock. We will be dipping into the mailbag on this Tuesday episode. We also have way too many MRIs to go over following the Week 2 win over the New York Jets. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. You really can't make this up, what's going on with the 49ers right now. Not only all the injuries, not only the airplane that was crashed into, so they had to go to a different airport to fly to New York to play that football game in Week 2 in the first place, but then the truck carrying the MRI machine to their practice facility in West Virginia crashes, so they have to go to a local hospital and do something completely different to get their MRIs, and those results were delayed Monday. But we finally got MRI results, and the news is bad as expected. Nick Bosa confirmed torn ACL. He's done for the season. Solomon Thomas confirmed torn ACL. He's done for the season. Good news, though, on Jimmy Garoppolo. The high ankle sprain's apparently not of the worst variety, so there's still potential that he could play as soon as this week against the Giants in New York. And if he can't go, or if he feels like, as Kyle Shanahan put it, that he can't protect himself, then Nick Mullins will be starting at quarterback for the 49ers. Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert both have knee sprains. It's a mild MCL sprain for Mostert. He is up in the air for this week. It's looking less and less like he's going to be able to play this week. He's also going to go home to Cleveland and see the birth of his child, which is really cool. So we'll see if he's able to play this week. I mean, hold him out, right? Tevin Coleman, his knee sprain is going to be weeks-long recovery time, most likely. So, and actually, shout out to David Lombardi of The Athletic, who put a handy chart together here to keep track of all these injuries. This is insane. Let's run through this right now. I already mentioned Bosa, Solomon Thomas. They're done for the year. Jimmy Garoppolo, high ankle sprain. He's week to week. George Kittle, MCL sprain, week to week. We'll find out more later in the week with the practice situation for some of those players. Some of these guys need less practice time, most likely, than others to play. Richard Sherman's calf strain put him on IR. He can come off of that in week 5. Deebo Samuel's Jones fracture and setback has him on IR that he can return from in week 4. So just one more game missed for Deebo Samuel if he is able to come back and start practicing next week and play in week 4. Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman, knee sprains. Maybe Mostert this week. I would guess not. DJ Jones, ankle injury. Not sure there. Drake Greenlaw had a thigh contusion. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Weston Richburg on the PUP list with his torn patellar tendon. So he could come off of that after 6 weeks. So week 7 potentially could get Weston Richburg back at the earliest. Same with Ronald Blair, still recovering from his ACL tear from last year, who's on the PUP list. Richie James on IR with a hamstring strain. Week 5, he could come back. Julian Taylor, torn ACL from last season, also on the PUP list. Jason Verrett's dealing with a hamstring strain. Supposed to be practicing this week, Wednesday. So we might get Jason Verrett back this week. And of course, Jalen Hurd had the torn ACL in camp, and he's done for the season. I honestly didn't really like how Shanahan spoke about Jimmy Garoppolo potentially playing this coming week. And maybe it was gamesmanship. Maybe he wants the Giants to prepare for both quarterbacks, which is smart. I mean, you can't put Jimmy Garoppolo back out there on that turf with a high ankle sprain. That's something that usually takes, a month to heal? I mean, that's usually a pretty significant injury. And even if it's a mild one, I mean, and he's taped up and not 100%, and on that turf, I mean, that is, I don't know about that one. George Kittle, same story. He's already got a sprained knee. You're going to put him out there on that turf? I don't know, man. I'm not buying it. Raheem Mostert, I think you got to sit all those guys. And you could bring up Jermichael Hasty from the practice squad if you need an extra guy there. You have Jerick McKinnon who's playing pretty well. Jeff Wilson, I like a lot. I mean, you're going to be fine for at least one more week. Get out of New York. Don't play any of those guys that are already dealing with knee injuries, especially. And, you know, don't play anyone you don't have to. And if you get a big lead at halftime, take Trent Williams out and take Eric Armstead out, right? And take everybody else out like they did last week in the fourth quarter against the Jets. So that's the way I would play this one. I mean, I cannot imagine that they would throw Jimmy Garoppolo out there in week three. I really do think that Shanahan's just playing some mind games to make the Giants prepare for two quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, those are tough guys. You can't put it in their court. You have to take the decision out of their hands. Be like, no, you guys are sitting. You guys are not playing this week. Sorry. The 49ers do have some reinforcements coming on the defensive line, at least, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler and confirmed by Kyle Shanahan. The Niners are finalizing a one-year deal with veteran defensive end Ziggy Ansah, expected to be done this week after COVID protocols. Ansa flying to meet with the team, and that all expected to happen this week in West Virginia. Assuming that goes well, Shanahan said he hopes he can get Ziggy Ansah on the field Wednesday. I don't know if that timing is going to work. If he got tested already Monday and they've got a contract done, that's the fastest it could happen. And I don't think he could be ready to go until Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. It's 3 days, right? So Thursday or Friday, maybe. We'll see if Ziggy Ansah gets on the field. And for a defensive lineman, you hope he can get out there quick, and I would assume he'd be able to suit up as Mohamed Sanu did this week. He knows the scheme. He played with Chris Kocurek in Detroit. He played in the cover three in Seattle, so it shouldn't take long for Ziggy Ansah to at least be, you know, the D Ford sort of a role where he comes in. It's like, look, it's play defensive end, line up there, and go get the quarterback. Like, he should be able to do that at least in sort of a rotational role in week three, I would assume. So Ziggy Ansah, that deal's done. I think it's about $3 million prorated for this season. Oh, yeah, and by the way, D Ford, I don't think D Ford was on that chart, but his neck injury turns out, according to Shanahan, is more of a back injury. So that's up in the air. I have no idea what to expect there with D Ford, if he can go or if he can't. So, yeah, the 49ers are up against it with the defensive line. That's a rough situation right now, losing both Solomon Thomas and Nick Bosa, who were starters in the first 2 weeks. And, you know, you have more reinforcements inside with a first-round draft pick and Javon Kinlaw, who should probably have been starting at some point very soon anyway for Solomon Thomas. But you need some players in the rotation. You hope to get Ronald Blair back off the PUP list. And oh, man, but coming off an ACL, what's he going to look like? How much can he play? How quickly can he get ingrained to the system? So it's going to be really, really, really difficult for the 49ers on the defensive line, because I look back at the 2018 season when DeForest Buckner was playing at a super high level. He was playing at an all-pro level. He had 12 sacks that year. The 49ers defense, though, wasn't that great, and their edge pass rush was just not good and not up to par. That was pre-D Ford. That was pre-Nick Bosa. And when Bosa and Ford showed up, not only did it help the defensive line, it helped the back end, the secondary so much. They played so much better in 2019 than they did in 2018. Maybe that had a little bit to do with Joe Woods, the new defensive backs coach for that year, who's now the defensive coordinator in Cleveland. But I think it was the pass rush. I mean, that was the biggest difference in that 2019 team, besides from getting Jimmy Garoppolo back, obviously, was that pass rush, that outside edge pass rush. And it just brings the whole thing together. So now you have DeForest Buckner gone. Now you miss potentially for, I don't know how long, D Ford, but you know Nick Bosa's gone for the year now. It's going to be tough to make up for that. And Ziggy Ansah is not going to be able to make up for all of that, but he is somebody who should be able to at least help. And he's had, you know, 10 sack seasons in his career. He's also had a bunch of seasons where he was hurt. So Ziggy Ansah, the newest 49er, the Niners are going to have to figure some things out on the defensive line. Aside from Bosa, though, and Solomon Thomas, there is potential for the team to get well. I talked a little bit about it yesterday, and I mentioned all those players that are eligible to come off of IR and come off the PUP list, potentially in week 7, and that's right when the schedule starts to get very difficult. You could have Richard Sherman back and George Kittle back and Jimmy Garoppolo all, and Debo Samuel all, you know, near or at 100%. Ronald Blair and Weston Richburg coming back, helping out. So, you know, and I'm sure there'll be some more people that get dinged up between now and then, but you hope in this first 6 weeks, it's a get well period. The 49ers can tread some water and win some games. If you're in good shape, 4-2, 3-3 or something like that after 6 weeks, that's a massive win for the 49ers when they could potentially have everybody back and be relatively full strength, actually, still this season, as bad as everything went so far in the last, you know, couple weeks, and especially this last weekend, injury wise for the 49ers. Bosa, though, is the big one. He's gone, and he's such an important player for that defense. There's still a season to be played here and still a very good football team for the 49ers. As they showed, they still rolled without five of their six best players over the New York Jets like they were, you know, a high school football team. So the 49ers are going to be okay. I think they have another very winnable game this week, even if they are playing second teamers. I mean, the New York Giants just lost their best player in Saquon Barkley. Their offensive line is a sieve. So the 49ers banged up defensive line should have one of their easiest opponents on the schedule this week in New York with the Giants. And we will get deeper into that matchup with the New York Giants Thursday and Friday. Thursday, our crossover episode with Patricia Traina, who is the host of Locked On Giants. But next, your questions here on this Tuesday mailbag. With the ever-increasing number of makes and car models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer. You can't even see what's going on the screen, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And they seriously have everything. Makes and models that I didn't think they would have anywhere near the amount of parts for. They have you covered at RockAuto.com. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. I do need to relay this information before we get to the mailbag. This from Ian Rappaport. He says, here is where things stand from the NFL on the turf at MetLife Stadium, because the 49ers were asking the league what's going on with this field. The independent field inspector completed an inspection on September 12th and certified that the field was in compliance with all applicable NFL policies, including the mandatory practices for artificial surfaces. In addition, within 72 hours of each home game, clubs must certify that their fields are in compliance with applicable NFL policy, and that occurred in this instance. So the Jets certified that it was in compliance. I don't know what the, like, I don't think the inspector goes out there with cleats and gets pushed around by a 6'7", 340-pound man. I don't think that's part of the inspection. What does he do? He goes out there and takes a ruler and measures the blades of grass, pokes around a little bit. Like, there's something to it. I mean, they're averaging 1.5 torn ACLs per game on this field. Numerous other knee and ankle injuries. Or the other thing is, maybe the Giants and the Jets have practiced on it. They know what kind of shoes to wear. If the 49ers played this game later in the season, maybe the word would have gotten out around the league, hey, go, don't even wear cleats. Wear sneakers on this field, right? I wonder what kind of, wonder how different the footwear was with the 49ers and the Jets. And the Jets had their own injuries in this game. Zach Banner, offensive tackle for the Steelers, tore his ACL in week one against the Giants on that same field Monday night. So there's definitely something going on there. And this, you know, whatever, the statement from the league about the inspections, like there's definitely more evidence saying that there's something wrong with the field after what we've seen for 2 weeks than whatever inspections are going on there. And it was plain as day. It was hard to tell with the Solomon Thomas injury, but with Nick Bosa, his foot wouldn't give and he got folded over and that foot was stuck in the grass. And it's exactly what Shanahan was saying about it. Same thing happened with Jimmy Garoppolo's ankle. So, I mean, you could see it. There's video evidence of feet sticking in the turf, and that's what was causing problems. And from what I understand, Zach Banner, the guy who tore his ACL for the Steelers in week one, is pretty upset about it too. He blames the turf. Kyle on Twitter says, why do the sports gods hate us 49ers fans? I think, Kyle, there does need to be some perspective here on your part, because the 49ers did just come off a Super Bowl. And ask Detroit Lions fans or Cleveland Browns fans if they would have enjoyed that sort of an outcome like one time in the last 50 years. So the Niners fans do have it pretty good. You got five Lombardis sitting in the trophy case. even for those fans who weren't around in the 80s and 90s, to enjoy those championships. Been to the Super Bowl a couple times in the last 10 years. Got a very good football team now to root for. Things could definitely be worse. I know it's a tough week. I know you don't like seeing those injuries, seeing one of your star players go down, Kyle. But Niners are in this thing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun season. The Niners are going to be competitive, even with the losses they've had so far. Zappadidida. I think I said that right. Says, do you see the team bringing in more defensive linemen? Banking on Ansa only would be extremely dumb, right? I don't think they're... I mean, it's tough. There's not stud defensive linemen... Don't grow on trees. There's not a ton available. I mean, if you need a nose tackle type, Snacks Harrison still is sitting at home right now waiting for a phone call. The 49ers do have Darian Daniels, who's another nose tackle on the practice squad that they could call up. You hope to get Ronald Blair back in a few weeks, who can really help. And so if you have Ansa and you have Kerry Hyder and Dee Ford comes back and is able to be a third down rusher at least for you, for the most part this season, and Kentavious Street can work in there, defensive end. Eric Armstead probably play a lot more end now than tackle because of this. You got Givens inside as well in that rotation, who should see a little bit more time for Solomon Thomas. Street could play inside and out. Hyder could play a little inside too, but he'll probably play a lot of defensive end now and play a starter's role. So they have some pieces, but unless they go make some blockbuster trade, and I don't know a lot of teams selling defensive ends and stud edge rushers either. I think they just have to kind of roll with what they have. And it sounds like Ants is the depth guy for now. And we'll see how it goes. And the 49ers defensive line is still better than... Did you see the Seahawks play the first 2 weeks of the season? Their defensive line is garbage. So the 49ers, even with losses, are still going to have a better defensive line right now than the Seattle Seahawks. Tino says, what happened to keys to victory? It's a great question, Tino. I used to do Keys to Victory every Friday, the last podcast before game day. You know, Tino, I don't even know. I just kind of didn't happen the first 2 weeks. If you guys want it, I'll bring it back. I've been wanting to do more film stuff, and usually that gets pushed off to the Friday episode because I got a Winky Wednesday and the crossover Thursday, and then the coach's film's usually not ready before Tuesday. So it gets pushed back to Friday, but depending on, you know, what there is to look at, and, you know, I broke down every single snap of Javon Kinlaw last week. There wasn't a lot of time, but I think a lot of weeks there will be time to do a segment of Keys to Victory before each week's game. So I'll see if I can fit that in, and I think I will be able to this week. No promises, but I'll try to bring back Keys to Victory since I know you guys liked it. The Jimmy G Experience wants to know what's going on with McGlinchey's struggles in pass protection, and is there anything that can be done short-term about it? I don't know. I mean, if there was an easy short-term fix to make offensive linemen great pass protectors, I think that would be utilized quite often by NFL teams. I have not, maybe that's a film segment for an upcoming week, but I mean, just the eyeball test, he's given up a lot of pressures and too many pressures. But he's been run blocking pretty well. I mean, that was always his strength. He's a better run blocker than a pass blocker coming out of college. And, you know, you see all these big run. You've seen multiple big gains in the 49ers run game coming off the right side. So something good is happening on that side of the 49ers offense to create so many big plays. And looking at the Pro Football Focus grades, it would attest to that. 74.3, pretty good grade as a run blocker for the 49ers. One of the top, offensive linemen. Yeah, he's right there. Trent Williams, like almost identical. 74.6 for Trent Williams, 74.3 for Mike McGlinchey as a run blocker this season. Where things differ, though, is Trent Williams is 82.3 as a pass blocker, best pass blocker on the team, which obviously that translates with what we've seen so far. Trent Williams, the second highest total graded player on the team, the first Jordan Reed so far in his two games, only 38 snaps, but grading out at a 91.5. Jerick McKinnon, Raheem Mostert, and Laken Tomlinson are the top five overall grades for the 49ers through 2 weeks. And and it's pretty clear that the pressures and where things are not going well for the 49ers offensive line is to the in the middle and to the right. So that center, right guard, and right tackle area more so than left guard and left tackle, although Laken Tomlinson did get beat by Quinnen Williams in last week's game. But looking at Mike McGlinchey alone, his pass blocking grade is only 41 on the season. Bad both weeks, giving up 7 total pressures. He gave up 3 quarterback hits last week against the Jets. So McGlinchey, he's a top 10 draft pick. He's got too much talent, and he should be better as a pass blocker right now. And it seems like he's taken a little step back in these first 2 weeks. We'll continue to monitor that, but Mike McGlinchey definitely has to get better right now for the 49ers. As a pass protector specifically, because he's doing his job in the run game. Wes wants to know, was this weekend the most recorded injuries in the NFL? If not, what are the top 3 and dates? I do not have that answer, Wes. It's a fantastic question. I would also love to get that information. And I was thinking that Sunday, is like, this has to be the most injuries ever, most ACLs specifically, in a weekend of football ever. I was reminded that in the 2011 lockout season, and there's something to this, the 2011 lockout season, there was a rash of injuries as well when things got ramped up. They did have training camp and a preseason game, but no off-season stuff before that in that lockout year in 2011. That was the first Harbaugh year, if you remember, and it didn't hinder the 49ers in getting a new coaching staff and playing well, but there was a bunch of injuries that year too, and specifically a bunch of Achilles injuries, I think it was. Other teams were hit harder than the 49ers in 2011, though. So I think that's a massive factor right now that's going on around the league, too. So when you put that together with the turf issues, and maybe that made the 49ers even more susceptible than normal to an odd turf situation to be injured. But we're seeing it throughout the league, even with, you know, grass fields that don't have any issues with any weird artificial turf or anything like that. There's so many injuries around the league, and there's only one really conclusion you can draw from most of those injuries, is that this wacky offseason, players' bodies weren't quite prepared at the level they usually are for an NFL season when there's already a ton of injuries as it is. That just means that the 49ers, like a lot of other teams, are going to have to fight through that attrition, utilize depth, and overcome missing some key players. More Lockdown 49ers and your questions next. Did you know there are new flavors of Built Bar? If you've had Built Bars in the past, you know how good they are, and they've got some fantastic new flavors that you should be excited to try. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. They've got their 12 original flavors as well. You've heard me talk about the peanut butter flavor that I love. Double chocolate's good. Mint brownie's also one of my favorites. 18 fantastic flavors to choose from. You can get a box of just one flavor and get multiple boxes. You can build your own box of Built Bars as well. They're covered in 100% delicious chocolate. It is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, soft and easy to chew. Great if you're health conscious, trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber bar that is also great for a keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. That's Built Bar, BuiltBar. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. To Doglog on Twitter, Dre Greenlaw is a significantly better linebacker than Alexander, right? I would say Greenlaw's better. If I had to pick one, and you know, age wasn't a factor and money wasn't a factor, you had to pick one for one game, I would pick Greenlaw over Alexander right now. I think he's surpassed him for sure. The thing is, Alexander does bring some other things. He brings a lot of energy. I think the 49ers love him. I think he's good in the locker room. I think, you know, he gets people jazzed up. Does that have an effect on the entire defense more so than just, a missed tackle here or there? And sometimes he tries to tackle people with his back, which is not ideal. And he's had a lot of injuries. I think he's trying to, just completely guessing, maybe trying to spare his shoulder that he's injured before and trying not to get hurt again. So maybe some bad technique when he goes after ball carriers at times. And Greenlaw, I think, is improving in the pass coverage area, where I think he's better there too. So I think Greenlaw is better, and next year it's going to be Greenlaw's job, I think. But right now, look, we've talked about all these injuries and attrition. It's not like you're going to get rid of Alexander, and I don't think the 49ers are going to bench him. I think they've played enough 3 linebacker looks, and you want to have really good coverage linebackers on the field with range in this zone heavy scheme. So having all those guys out there with Warner, I think, helps. So I don't envision anything happening there, and you need depth. Next year, Greenlaw, I'm sure, will be that starting weak side linebacker, because I don't think they can afford to pay Alexander. Although Alexander did restructure his contract. D Ford did too. I don't know. And also Weston Richburg, like three of the most injury prone guys on the team that have some pretty significant salaries. They all, within the last year, have restructured their contracts. I don't know if it makes it so it's either impossible or just doesn't make monetary sense to release them after the season. That's something I need to check into again, because I forget with all these restructures they've done. Otherwise, I would say, yeah, Alexander's gone. There's no way he's going to make that, whatever it was, $14 million a year salary next year with the way the cap is going. And when you have a player like Greenlaw who's ready to be that full-time starter and should never, you know, come off the field for someone like Alexander. So I'm with you, Doglog. I think Greenlaw's better. You need the depth right now. There's really nothing to do there. And I think the 49ers are okay and don't want to change anything up. So it's not a big deal now. In the future, though, it's going to be Greenlaw and Warner, I think, for the long term. And they have to figure out who's going to play strong side linebacker. They have to figure out what their scheme is going to be if Robert Saleh gets a head coaching job. I don't know if he's going to be as hot of a hire this year with the way the season's going so far, which would be great for the 49ers if they're able to keep him one more year. Although I think he's definitely going to get some interviews. I think he might get a job still. I mean, we're 2 weeks in. I mean, you can't really look that far into the future. 49ers are going to be fine. You lost Nick Bosa. That's rough. They have an opportunity to get very healthy here and have a run still. John says, is it time to trade D Ford? Now he's dealing with back and neck injury. Shaking my head. No, I mean, you can't trade D Ford because I don't think you can get what... I mean, you need defensive ends. Like, you would need his position. Someone's going to trade you a healthy player that can rush the passer for D Ford. That's not going to happen. So you just have to hope that he's going to be healthy the rest of the year. And again, he restructured his contract. I would have thought for sure 100% 2021 he wouldn't be back. But there were so many good feelings about him and good vibes with his health this offseason, and they restructured his contract, and that might lock him into 2021, or at least, you know, post-June 1st cut, potentially, in 2021. I don't know. I'm just go back and look at some of these contracts. But no trade of D Ford. Doesn't really make sense. You're not going to get anything back for him anyway. Tim says, how many starts will Mullins get before there is talk of building statues? That's a great question. There is a very strong pro-Mullins crowd out there. This might be the one reason why Jimmy Garoppolo would want to play even more through pain and be like, no, I'm going to go out there. I don't want this guy to go out there against a team that's not that great. And look, because if Mullins goes out there and Garoppolo doesn't play and Mullins throws darts and has this really great game against a pretty bad team, and Bradbury's a really good corner for the Giants, but they have some problems elsewhere in the secondary. I mean, that would be crazy, right? The Mullins crowd will go nuts. Jimmy Garoppolo's not going to lose his job, no matter how good Mullins plays, but I'm sure Jimmy G's competitive, and he doesn't want to let the backup come in and play for him if he doesn't have to. So that's why I said before, you're going to have to hold out Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't give him the option, because if he can tape it up and play, I'm sure he will. Just like George Kittle. Like, you got to save these guys from themselves, I think, a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if a full week of practice, and Shanahan talked about this with Mullins, working with the ones a little bit more in practice and getting the cadence down, and things were a little bit disjointed in week two. I could see Mullins having a nice game against the New York Giants. Luke says, reckon our depth will be able to keep us competing for a playoff spot? Yes, absolutely. I think the depth is a very good football team. There's a lot of depth on the roster. As we saw, their backups can roll over a bad football team still. Like, week one was a little funky. Those NFC West games are going to be tough. There's a tough stretch of games coming up. I think the 49ers can absolutely compete for the 7th playoff spot, 9-7, even as banged up. But they do have to get some players back if they want to be serious. If they want to be serious contenders in the playoffs, you have to get something out of D Ford. You have to hope that Ziggy Ansah resembles somewhat of himself, his old self, in a rotational role. Maybe get Blair back and sort of, you know, tape together a defensive end rotation without Nick Bosa, and then get everybody back healthy, because they could get get every single other player that's important to the team back and healthy for the rest of the season. And so that's what to look for. There is definitely a get well period for the 49ers in the next few weeks. And, you know, every week or two, there's going to be another player coming back. And, you know, probably this week, I'm guessing George Kittle's going to play this week. I would say that they should hold him out, but I have a feeling they won't do that, or won't be able to do that, or don't want to try to do that. But you get Deebo Samuel back. Basically by week 4, you're going to have Deebo Samuel back against the Eagles in prime time. The Eagles are looking not great to start this season. So that might be an easier game than expected coming into the year. You get Jimmy G back. You get Kittle back. You're going to be in pretty good shape with this team. Then you get Sherman back in another week after that. The 49ers are going to be fine. They've got a lot of depth. And luckily, these injuries happen at a time where they can still win some games with their depth and have plenty of time to get healthy to make a run. I might regret going to this Twitter user. Shea God of Butter McManus says, which animal should I ritualistically sacrifice to remove the curse that has been placed on the 49ers? And Shea's avatar is a panda, so definitely don't sacrifice an endangered species. I think maybe you just go the Major League route. You remember the movie Major League? And Serrano wanted to sacrifice a chicken, so they brought him a bucket of fried chicken. Start there. Start there. Come back to me next week and see how that works. Let's finish it up with Joe here. Joe says, is it true that this is Bosa's second ACL tear? And if true, is that concerning? It is somewhat concerning, although Frank Gore is still playing and he had two ACL tears in college. And he is the poster boy for longevity at the position that has the shortest NFL career spans. Yes, though, this is Bosa's second ACL tear. He tore an ACL. I don't know which knee it was. I think it was back in high school. And then in 2018, he had a core muscle injury at Ohio State in college and missed a bunch of that season and then decided not to come back and play that season because he wanted to get ready for the draft. So there were some injury concerns with Bosa coming out of college. It was about the only red flag for Bosa as a prospect. And yeah, I mean, two ACL tears is a bit of a concern. But as I mentioned, it's not a death knell for a player. And he's still young and you know he's going to work hard. He's going to come back. His brother's had some injury concerns. His dad has had some injury concerns. I know there were people in the draft who was like, I don't know. His brother has been banged up in the NFL and his dad had a bad knee injury in the 80s that derailed his career. Maybe there's some structural biology DNA in the Bosa family and he's not going to be able to stay healthy for his career. I don't know about that. If he was just trotting around and tore his ACL, but Mekhi Becton is a massive human being and put all of his weight on Nick Bosa's knee, it was bending back the wrong direction. I don't know if there's any ACLs that were going to be able to handle that. So you hope he can come back from it and he doesn't lose any explosiveness or power or anything like that. And you know he's going to work hard. I fully expect Bosa to come back and be the same guy. And I think this was just a freak injury and I wouldn't put any more on it than that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for all of your questions. Be back tomorrow. Another Winky Wednesday. We'll do a crossover with Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants Thursday. Then a film Friday. Yeah, some keys to victory. Why not? All this week, Locked On 49ers.